Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Love music? Love interviews with lovely musicians? Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
This is going to be something I'll remember, and that's a really lovely thing. I don't think I was able to do that in the past.
And James Bay. Come on,
let it go. Don't you agree that everybody needs someone when they feel alone?
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
Our next guest cooks like an angel and talks like
cooks
an Angela.
Like an angel.
She's the Michelin star, TV
like
star, super chef who's broken all podcast
She's
records. The brilliant
angel.
Dish has spent more
She's
weeks
got
at number
in her
one
name.
Than even she's made hot dinners. And now it's back for series 5. So please welcome the angelic Angela Hartnell.
Oh, yeah. Wow, what an amazing load of words there. You just guys wake me up more than anyone in the morning.
You,
I'm normally miserable.
Thank
but
you.
I come in here
thank
and you,
you
make me so happy.
You're
thank
not
you.
Miserable.
Well, I don't know, 7 o'clock
it's
in the
so
morning,
funny.
Ask my husband.
Well, here's the thing. So I am never miserable, but people see me walking down the street and they
no,
go...
you're never miserable.
I know, but they say, when I'm not talking, right,
right,
in the street, they go, cheer up, Chris, it might never happen.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm like, because I have a... I think they call it an RBF,
I want to punch
they?
People that say that, to
yeah,
be honest.
But you are always happy.
Aww.
I think it's just you don't think you're happy.
It's I was in there.
No, you hear barking, but
yes.
We just hear laughing
oh,
and
that's
joy.
Very sweet. That's very sweet.
Right. Unbelievable / not unbelievable. Great news that Dish is back for Series
yep.
5. You can say what you like. You can respond to this in however you like. I really mean it. It's the funniest podcast on the planet. I listen to more podcasts than anybody else on the planet. And I will take anybody to I will bet anybody, any money in the world, that I listen to more podcasts than anybody else alive, right? I do.
I'm not taking that bet.
Early
I
morning commute,
you.
I listen to because of the show and people coming on the show.
You're running
and I love
and
them
listening.
Anyway. I'm always running. I'm in the gym. I listen to all the podcasts. Yours and Nick's podcast with Waitrose, the Dish podcast,
yeah.
is the funniest podcast on the planet. And it just got funnier because Claudia Wilkerman's on it. Are these the Carfest people? Come in. Let's have a live audience.
Oh,
come on.
Lovely Carfest.
You have a live audience on Dish.
Yes, we do.
I know this because I've been on it.
There's like thousands of them on Dish.
It's so fun.
They're brilliant.
Hi, everyone. Morning.
Morning.
I said hi, morning. Everyone. Morning. That's more Dish-like, isn't it?
Morning.
So Waitrose are clearly happy.
They're very happy, yes.
It has a great audience. For people who don't know what Dish is, give us an elevator pitch.
So we invite a guest on, I Your Good Self. This series, we've got Jay Blades. We've just launched with Claudia Winkleman. We've got Elizabeth Day, Siobhan McSweeney. They come on, they tell us what their favourite food is.
Yes.
I cook a dish, so someone may say, I love pasta or fish. So I'll make a dish which includes whatever they would love to eat. We match it with some wine if they want to drink. If they don't, we do non-alcoholic, and then we chat. And I think it's great because Nick and I get on well, and no one thinks we should. On paper, Nick and I are totally different. We're so opposed, different people. But actually, we get on so well, and we just rip each other apart. You know,
you do and you don't.
There's love there. There's
yeah,
absolute love.
It's
there.
Like us and myself.
Yeah.
The thing about you, Nick, is you both got a huge sense of humour.
Yes, yeah.
You both don't really mind you don't pull any punches.
No.
Waitrose might edit them out now and again, but you don't pull them out during the recording because I've been there. It's all the fun, everyone. It's all that fun. But also, he loves food
yes.
and you love food and he can't. He can cook a bit.
Yes.
You can cook a lot. And also, the guests that come on, you know, we all love to come on your show.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
A bit, it's like Saturday Kitchen.
Yeah, yeah.
We all love to go on Saturday Kitchen as well. It's one of those shows we all love to go on.
Yeah.
And then when we get there, you know, you don't take yourself too seriously,
yeah.
nor does Nick, hopefully in order the guests that come on. And that is a recipe for a great listen.
Exactly. And people are relaxed. You know, they're around a table. Very relaxed. They're eating food. There's a great, as you say, there's a great audience.
There's going to be no curveballs.
Nothing. You're not trying to catch people
out. No agenda.
It's like they've come around to your house for dinner.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's brilliant. So... thank you. I love that you love it. We need you back on. You know, mate, that. We need all the Virgin team. You all need to come together.
I think Hannah and I are still threatening to do.
You've got to, yeah.
To come as a twosome.
Yeah.
Right. So, but then there's Claudia Winkleman. Right. You're an extremely funny woman. Rachel Paris, who does funny for a living, yeah, is on the show between 9 and 10.
Yeah.
And then there's Claudia Winkleman.
Then there's Claudia. She's on another stratosphere.
She's unbelievable.
She's
so funny on this.
And she's another one that's irreverent about herself. She just takes the mickey out of herself.
She takes
which is
the mickey
brilliant.
Out of herself. She's so clever.
Yeah.
You know, they said when they were asking Claudia before, and she, you know, on the emails via our agent or whoever it is, I know you know, both know her anyway.
Yeah.
And you talk and you text and you both love traitors and all this kind of stuff. And you text her during the traitors saying, what are you going to do about this? She says, I'm not on. I'm at home with my kids. Shut up. It's not live. Go away. Go away, Nick. Go away, Angela. I'm not coming on your podcast. And then we're asked to fill in this form about the food we might like and the food we don't like. And she says, I'm happy for Angela to cook me anything as long as it doesn't wobble. Which is such a Winkleman response. I mean, because it's great, isn't it? See, I don't mind wobbly food. Well, I didn't until I heard Claudia say that and I thought, oh,
yes.
I'm not sure I can eat any wobbly food anymore.
She's ruined it for all jelly lovers
so like
in the world.
She really or, has. Yeah. You know, give us some wobbly food.
Yeah, blancmange, you know, anything soft she doesn't like.
Yeah.
You know, she's like risotto. You know, and actually she does like risotto, but it's the wobbliness, panna cottas, blancmange.
No, she likes your risotto.
Yeah. Oh, yes, she is fussy.
Yeah, so she this is, you can get this podcast today. It's really, this episode is drops today for Mother's Day. They got Claudia from Mother's Day special. She went,
and she
I hate Mother's
Day.
It's so funny. Look, we're just talking about it. It's funny. She's like, I can't stand Mother's Day.
Oh, my God, yeah.
My kids can come and hug me and they can kiss me on any day but Mother's Day. My husband can kiss me and tell me if she loves me on any day other than Valentine's Day. I am not falling for it.
She is ruthless.
And then she talks about risotto.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, the thing about Angela's risotto is that she cooks it and it's edible. She says... She says, when I cook risotto, it's overcooked and undercooked at the same time. And I'm thinking, I know exactly what she means. Because my wife, who can really cook...
She's great,
you know,
Natasha. She's amazing.
She still struggles with risotto.
No way.
Honestly, when is it going to... We've had like a masterclass from Theo Randall. I was there and I still... Look, it's all right for you. Because you are Willy Wonka, right?
Thank you.
But you don't know... We don't know. You think, well, it just happens. No, it doesn't. It doesn't happen unless you're Thea Randall or Angela Harner. You can't get your risotto to turn.
We'll do another lesson. We'll do another lesson.
Give
get Tash over.
Give us a risotto super hack.
See, there's two secrets. Great stock and cook it for 20 minutes only. That's it. Do not cook it any longer. People think it's undercooked, but it's not. Just go to 20 minutes. Use great stock. And don't overcook it. Then it's like porridge. Don't do it any less because then it's too much of a bite.
Okay. That's what we try to do. You've not told me anything I don't know about risotto. But it
all
doesn't
Chris,
work.
I see.
Okay, here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do.
Should we do it live on the show?
I'll come to yours. Yeah. We'll do another dish. We'll do wherever you want. I'll meet you at dawn, you know, with pistols drawn. And I will do what
that
you said in front of you and it will not work. Is that right or not?
All right, okay. Work. That's a Carfest challenge then. That's a Carfest challenge.
I think risotto is the chef's version of the magic circle where you're just not going to tell us how you do it. And you've all agreed to say these two ridiculous things. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Thank you. I'm leaving now.
No, I really didn't mean to do that.
Chris has just stuck his fingers up at me, anyone who's
not
watching.
I really didn't mean to. It just came so naturally.
Most people do when they think about risotto.
There is one other thing I want to talk to you about.
Well, Giorgio Locatelli always said, look at a chef that's been in the Italian kitchen for years, he goes, look at his hands. And he said they're enormous because of the beating of the risotto.
The risotto.
Because you are stirring as well for 20 minutes. There are obviously a few
figure
other
of eight
things.
Going on there.
Yeah, there's
is that
a
right?
little figure of eight. Yeah, mm-hmm. You see, you know your stuff. Anyway, I brought you a little present, by the way.
Go on.
This is we in our back garden in London, because we live in East London. I've got a lovely best friend who's lived with me for about 20 years, Salvatore. Right. Him and the bees do honey, and we've bought you a jar of honey.
Oh, my gosh.
Last
I've just run out of my favourite honey, Lane End Honey.
Oh,
I ran
right.
out of it last night, and I was listening to another podcast called the National Trail Runner, Trail Running Nation.
Okay.
This amazing podcast from America. These two dudes, it's so funny. They're like you and Nick. They just get on so well, and they shouldn't be on the radio, or they shouldn't be given a microphone. and that's why they're any good.
Yeah.
And they said last night that the best diet that you can have for being healthy is meat, really good meat.
Yep.
Sustainably bred meat.
Farmed,
Which is full of nutrition. Fruit.
Yeah.
And honey.
There you go.
Not vegetables, not carbs. Those three things is that's the latest super fuel diet.
Yeah.
So thank you for my new honey.
Pleasure. Yeah.
I appreciate
problem.
It. So for risotto in this brand new episode of Dish Series 5 with Waitrose, it's available now. Also see jus, because you kick off with listeners' questions, don't you?
Yes, we do.
And there's a big jus question. You know, when is jus a jus? Like
jus gravy or gravy?
Yeah, it's like knock jus there. It's like the jus of cooking. When is a jus not a gravy? When does a gravy become a jus? What's the answer?
Well, I think gravy, it's got flour in it. Jus doesn't.
Right. So jus is a bit thinner.
Bit thinner, more reduced, more intense. I think gravy for Sunday roast is the best.
Yeah.
It's without doubt. And that's what we did for Claudia. We did proper old school gravy.
Yep.
You know, make it from the juices, add a bit of flour, and then add some stock. And there's nothing wrong with a little stock cube. There are many brands there. Waitrose obviously do some wonderful ones.
Yeah.
Put that in, little browning of the vegetables, and you've got a lovely gravy. Jus a bit more fancy restaurant-y.
Mark would be quite famously. I know that he advertises Knorr, doesn't he? But a lot of his recipes start off with a bottle of ketchup or a bottle of HP in a proper posh sauce.
Yeah,
it's the base
for
a sauce. And that's why I unashamedly now stick a bit of... I did it last night. Tash made this beautiful sort of bean and tomato soup, super healthy, and I just stuck some HP sauce in there. Why not? If it's there.
Yeah,
if it's the heavy lifting's been done for you.
If you've got, and those things always have that umami sort of flavour there, you know, that lovely like parmesan, like that yeast extract, all those little things. There's a great thing we do at Limewood where we do mushrooms with Marmite, and it's just amazing. You know, mushrooms just naturally, you want to eat them. Add a dollop of Marmite on toast. I could eat that now, really.
We're talking about Romesh Ranganathan.
Yeah.
Who signed up for the marathon.
Ooh.
Yeah, not secretly quietly.
Not anymore.
But he came in here a couple of weeks ago and he was looking, you know, especially trim. Yeah. And full of energy, is always one of the funniest people on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, we are actually going to your restaurant
for our
pre-marathon meal.
Carb up.
Yeah, well, see,
or tell me what you... I mean, we've organised, I think, but if you need anything
a bit of
special,
a myth, and it gets more mythy the more you talk
so
about
it.
So
now are we honey, fruit and meats? Is that what you're telling me? You're rewriting the menu, Chris.
But the point is, I don't know. And you can, you know, whatever if you keep looking for things, you'll always find something.
Of course, yeah.
And, processed carbohydrates, not great. Processed food, not great. Super processed carbohydrates the day before, not great. Because it just all turns to sugar.
Yeah.
And if you start burning your sugars too soon in a marathon, you'll hit the wall because you'll get the lactose acid. Hyperglycemia.
Yeah.
Whereas if you can tap into your fat cells and get your fat feeding, they'll keep you going forever.
Yeah.
So we don't really want that much carbohydrates. I mean, what's your latest on this, Vasquez?
Yeah.
The thing is, I've got
don't
one
want to be
marathon
for him not doing a great marathon run. Just saying. So let's get the menu right.
The thing is,
just looking for anybody to blame other than
my legs. It's probably not, and it's definitely not what they recommend. But the marathons that I've always done best in, I have done that old thing. It is an old thing now, and it's been scientifically proven not to work. But carb starving, carb loading. So you don't have any carbs for like the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yeah. Wednesday before the marathon,
yeah.
And slowly start to introduce them Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday. You don't eat more, but just all of your food comes from carbs.
I'll tell you what they do say is pretty good. Rice as opposed to pasta,
because
it's more natural. So we could be heading towards risotto again.
Could be doing risotto, risotto, that could work. And then,
but we're so excited, we've never been to your place
on
marathon eve.
Yeah.
Are you going to be there?
Yes, of course
I am. Come on.
Yes. Yes.
Angela, yes.
I have a great spot to watch the marathon, actually. It's the last sort of couple of, well, probably the last miles. You're coming down past the old Billingsgate Market. Mm. There's a bridge that people don't really know. I'm giving it away now. Yeah. There's a staircase you get up to. And when my husband ran the marathon, I'd been waiting there for like a good few hours. And then this guy turns to me and he goes, "Were you looking for someone?" He goes, "Yeah, glasses, big nose. Kids trust." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "He's just gone past." Apparently Neil was like this, going, "Hello," and I was just aimlessly looking in the wrong way.
Always
my work
the way.
Is done. Yeah. My work
always
is done. Yeah, I'll look out for you then.
So quickly back to Gio again. Yeah. Because there's a super hack, isn't there? How to make it all shiny. What do you do?
Oh yeah, take it off the heat when it's get it to a hot temperature, take it off the heat and cold dice butter in.
Cold dice butter.
And that
all
gives
right, everyone.
It a little shine. Little
super
shine.
Is that a
yeah.
trick? Was it, is that
little
a trick?
Trick. No, it's a very French way. They call it Monte, you know, Monte in, into it. And it basically, yeah, it gives you that beautiful shine at the end. But it's got to be off the heat and it's got to be cold.
Right, we're talking to Angela Hartner, one of the funniest women I've ever met. Rachel Paris is on the way.
Sweet.
Claudia Winkleman. I mean it. Claudia Winkleman is the first guest on the brand new season of Dish, which is the funniest podcast in the world. And she's the funniest guest you've ever had on. And you've had lots of extremely funny people on. It's with your pals at Waitrose. That's all great. So you've got all that going on. It's great. Is it true that you were desperate? You were praying at night, on bending knee, on your bed, on the mattress, right, praying for a fifth season of Dish just so you could get Claudia on.
Of course, yes. That's the only reason I signed up to the fifth series. I said, unless you get her as the first one,
right.
Not doing it.
Apparently Nick was constantly texting
yeah.
her as she considered a decease.
She got
cease
a court
and desist
order. Yeah.
You were doing the same. How did you finally get Claudia Winkleman over the line?
You know why? Because she's got a dog. She's got a dog now.
She brought the dog with her?
Yes, she brought the dog with her.
Yeah.
She could bring the dog. You see, we're very open to everyone. I've brought my niece in, who's a young little baby before. We've brought the dogs in before,
right.
So Claudia could bring the dog.
So dogs, babies, welcome.
Yeah, everyone welcome.
Perfect.
Family show.
All right. So how many guests have you been responsible for booking yourself since Dish started?
Oh, I don't know.
Because you have some pull. You do have some power.
I did get Stanley Tucci. I must admit. Stanley I got
Tucci.
Stanley. I think Stanley. And I think the other big one was Hugh Bonneville.
Hugh Bonneville.
You see, Hugh Bonneville. And then I'm going to take Claudia. I'm going to take that
She's
one.
Take
well.
Claudia.
There we
go. So much
I think
fun.
That's enough. That's enough.
So much fun. Who else is coming up this season? You've already mentioned it.
We've got Elizabeth Day. We've got Jordan North and William Hanson. We've got Danny Dyer coming up. Makita Oliver with Lily Allen. They're about to do a new podcast. So all is Marianne Keys. So it's fantastic. And loads more.
Right,
you again, hopefully.
You do like a little game in the middle of it all, don't
yeah.
you? The team come up with the game. So for Claudia, you've played Winkleisms. What is Winkleisms, please?
All the things we think she's making up. Like, does she go on the tube? She does, apparently.
All right. And things she may have said on May not have said.
May
well.
Have said, does she like a wet kiss or a dry kiss?
All right. Let's have a little listen to the latest episode of Dish, starring Claudia Winkleman with the irregular host, the one, the only, Nick and Angela.
We found, Claudia, loads of great things that you had said in a game that we're going to call Winkleisms.
Oh my God.
Did you say this?
Yeah, just so you know, I lie all the time.
Okay.
So some of these might come as a surprise.
Claudia Winkleman cannot abide cold food.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
It's a disgrace. Fennel.
You refuse large eggs.
Yeah, don't like them.
Yeah, don't like them. Yeah.
Too showy.
You've never been to the gym.
Never.
No. You'd marry a potato.
I would.
Yeah.
Maris Pfeiffer.
You think limes are quite sexy.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
of course
truthful,
they are.
Yeah. You'd rather be licked by your dog than kissed by your husband's wet mouth.
Okay, that's an exaggeration. I just don't like a watery mouth.
Yeah. Watery?
I don't like it that he likes
salivary.
Water and then he'll try and kiss me. It's all wet. I like a dry, crisp, arid mouth. It's a total turn on.
You only eat walnut whips whilst riding the tube.
I love a walnut whip, but although I will not touch the walnut. I'm not an idiot.
Oh yeah, no.
Just the whip.
I love a walnut whip.
Mm. I love a walnut whip.
I've not had one for years. Mm. Your McDonald's order is 4 filet of fish.
I love a filet of fish,
yes.
But I also like quarter pound of cheese. Hold the gherkin, please. Extra hot fries.
Okay, and finally, you said bagels are the polo mints of the carb world.
Did I?
No.
No, that one was false.
Yeah, I don't think I did.
There you go, you know your isms.
I mean, you don't get to listen to the show very often. And you're laughing along. You're,
I love her.
As
she's
a
brilliant.
Listener, how funny is that? Because we got
she
the gang in for Carfest. It's funny. Very, very
she
funny.
She is great. She's brilliant.
She is brilliant. She is brilliant. She's my favourite presenter.
Yeah.
She's the funny. She might be the funniest person I've ever met. And I've been very fortunate enough to
she
meet.
She is.
And she's not necessarily a comedian. I think she's going on a tour soon, though. She's doing a stand-up tour.
Probably
soon.
A book, about
she's
a book or something.
She's got a super new agent who said, get out there. People love you, Claudia. Mm. And I mean, she could do anything she wants.
But she's amazing is that she doesn't take herself seriously. You know, and she knows what I love about her. She goes, this could end tomorrow. And she's absolutely okay with that.
She talks about it on the show,
doesn't she? She goes, I'm absolutely okay with that. So I'm going to enjoy it while I do it. And then when it ends tomorrow, I've got my kids. You know, and she's perfectly fine.
And she's currently ruling the roost on telly, as she deserves to, you know, with Traitors and with Strictly and a couple of other shows. But also, in this episode, you do talk about all the shows that she's fronted that haven't worked.
Yeah.
Because you know, that's the way it is. And I remember Chris Tarrant doing loads and loads and loads of shows after Tiz Was, and just doing shows and, you know, not unashamedly, because that's the wrong way of framing it, but you know, sort of fearlessly, well, I'll give it a go. And they didn't work. And then, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Ka-ching! It's the jackpot.
There he goes, yeah.
Because you've got to crack on.
Yeah.
You
can't just wait around. Yeah, you've got to try things.
Lovely phrase I heard last week, human beings are made of mistakes.
Oh, that is really lovely.
Yeah, we're made
up
of mistakes, and if you're not making mistakes on a daily basis, you're not truly being a human being.
God, I'm doing that all the time. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm really human.
So am
I'm
I.
Constantly.
And people who listen to the show on a regular basis will testify to that. But there is something about your studio, having been there. You go into your studio, you just feel funnier.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoyed my episode. I watched a few bits of it back because it was out there. I thought, I look like
funny.
I'm having a really good time there, because I was having just such a good time.
No, it's relaxed. Yeah, it's easy. It's not difficult. And I think you said it earlier, we're not trying to catch people out. I don't think many podcasts are, unless it's some political one. But I think we just want everyone to have a great time. And I think the table, the food, you know, it all makes such a difference. You
it's relaxed and it's energetic, because the two are not mutually exclusive.
Exactly,
It's full of energy, but it's relaxed.
Yeah.
And the more relaxed things are, the more energy you can get through in the first place, and the more energy that gets through in the first place, the more people relax. It's one of those beautiful upward spirals in life, as opposed to a downward spiral. I hope this show goes on forever. Are you happy for it to... Have you and Nick talked about that?
No, Nick loves it. I mean, I love it. I do love it. And he loves having a huge crowd. And he's so polite about everything. He'll go, not that I want this to end. When are we finishing today? Whereas I walk in going, I need to be done by 2:15. Can we just speed this up, please? You know, so
Is it true that you say to your driver in the morning, keep the keys in the ignition... This won't take long. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, I'll get my bike ready. You know, exactly. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Well, that's why Claudia loved working with me. When we did Best Home Cook, I was literally going, we're going to be finishing by 4.
Yeah.
We are not here till 6.
And she thought the same thing, but was too polite to
say. Yeah, exactly.
She would say things like, I'm happy to stay here till 10, but what time might we be finishing?
And Nick's the same, whereas I'm going, no, come on, we need to move this along. Let's
get... We're already over time. Briefly,
I've got to give you another present from our good friends at Waitrose.
Thank
all
you
these
so
beautiful
much.
Goodies for all you and the guys in the studio.
Okay. Thank you, Waitrose. Thank you. By the way, Waitrose, if the whispers I'm hearing about the future are if there's any traction in that to do with this show, then you bring it on.
Right.
Probably said
excellent.
Too much. Don't.
Okay. I may be cooking on this show each
before,
week.
Yeah, what? That'd be cool. Oh, my God.
But weekly, please.
Waitrose, we'll pay you.
Yeah.
How about that? The first ever sponsorship deal where the broadcaster pays the advertiser because we get Angela Hartnett thrown in.
Angela Fridays.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Anyway, sorry, I can't focus there. I've got the rest of the show
to. Dish, by Waitrose.
No, but Sunday, Mother's Day, you did a roast for Claudia.
Yeah.
And you did this killer hack to do with Yorkshire puds and what you do with the batter. This whole 24 hours before.
Yeah, do it the night before.
I didn't know that.
Just beginning
to end, please.
Well, the point of, you know, Yorkshire pudding, it is a batter, you know, but you want the raisin agent, you know, everything to the eggs, basically, to rest overnight, because you've just beat them, and then you don't want to put them straight into a hot oven. So if you let them rest overnight, they're going to have much more power to rise up.
Okay.
So there you go. So let it rest. Yeah, make it the night before. Hot oven, hot trays, hot oil. Take the batter out so it's not fridge cold, and then into the oven.
Coming in hot, Angela Hart, everybody.
Thank you.
Come on. control room round of applause for the one, the only, Dame Angela Hartnett. Dish is back.
Love music? Love interviews with lovely musicians? Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
This is going to be something I'll remember, and that's a really lovely thing. I don't think I was able to do that in the past.
And James Bay. Come on,
let it go. Don't you agree that everybody needs someone when they feel alone?
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
She's a BAFTA-nominated comedian, musician, actor and presenter who's like a human stamp of quality in your telly and soon in a theatre near you. Her new Poise tour begins in Bristol in the springtime, and on this show, whenever she wants to come in, we'll always have Rachel Paris.
Rachel Paris! How you doing, Rachel?
I'm great. Thanks for having me again.
You are more than welcome. Poise! UK tour begins Saturday, April 20th in Bristol until Sunday, the 20th of October in Brighton.
It's long.
Hello.
Yeah.
Biggest tour yet.
Biggest tour for me that I've ever had.
Come on. So it's the ass end of April. It's the whole of May, the whole of June. Taking July off, very wise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Family holiday.
Absolutely.
I won't say where.
Why the heck not? There's no point in earning it unless you're going to spend it. September and October. Wow, wow, wow. And it's music and comedy. It's stand up and sit down.
Yeah.
Speak to that if you don't mind, Rachel.
I'd love to. So, before I did the MASH report or anything on TV, I've been doing musical comedy since I started comedy, and I've been doing music long before I did comedy. So musical comedy is like my heart. It's where my home is. I'm really doing loads of songs in the style of like Victoria Wood or Tim Minchin, that kind of thing on this tour. And of course there's stand-up, there is plenty of stand-up, there's plenty of satire. But yeah, come expecting songs and singing along.
So a mate of mine is on tour at the moment, Rob Brydon, and he's doing a lot of this, right? And people have been to see him. A guy I'm working with at the moment, he just emailed me yesterday, said, I went to see Rob Brydon last night. Didn't really want to go. I didn't mind going. Not mind Rob Brydon, but my wife wanted to go and see him. She said he was absolutely brilliant, absolutely hilarious. But the crafting of music, musical comedy, and music and comedy within the show is something else. I mean, comedy melts my brain anyway. I've always wanted to be able to play a musical instrument. You know, I'll jump on a mic until somebody takes it off me to sing or shout. But to be able to do the two, you started with the piano.
Yeah.
When you were how old?
Six.
Six, okay. Did your mum and dad have to force you to do that, or were you attracted to it? Or?
No, I was. I was obviously tiny, but I loved it. Like, I'd reach up and sort of, you know, plinky plonk on the keys.
Right.
And my granddad played by ear, you know, the old tunes.
Which is
and
so
everything.
Annoying. You hear that a lot.
Yeah.
Two things that annoy me about the piano. One is mums and dads who have kids who want to learn it, because we all want our kids to be able to play the piano, don't we? And then other granddads and grandmas who can play by ear. It's like people, you know, some blokes, you always say, oh, they had trials for Crystal Palace. It's always Crystal Palace. And it's always granddads and grandmas who can play by ear.
Yeah, always. So I had that. And then my mum said, do you want to have lessons with the local teacher?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, sure. And I just sort of loved it straight away. I went off it when I failed my grade 5,
right.
Nearly gave it up. But then I picked it up again, and then it became my whole life, really.
So being funny via music, is it easy to be funny first, you know, as a stand-up, doing comedy, and then does it feed into music, or does it just come naturally?
I think, well, music definitely comes more naturally than comedy does, I think, for me. But, yeah, I think combining the two just made sense. I wouldn't have got into comedy without the songs, put it that way.
Is that because of the confidence the songs gives you?
Yeah, 100%.
Because you're funny. I mean, you're funny-wise, you would have done it because you've got funny bones.
But you're right, it's the confidence. I just would never have thought of, like, doing stand-up or being just funny on stage just from talking. I'd have been like, who would want to hear me do that? But songs, I was like, no, I can write a song though. And so, and I, the songs that I was writing even before I was in the comedy arena, they were just sort of naturally quite funny songs. Yeah, yeah. So that was my way in.
And Victoria Wood, would she be your hero?
100%,
yeah. She's the best. She was the best.
She was amazing. I grew up watching her on all the specials. And I love, my favourite thing about Victoria Wood was that she didn't just do musical comedy. She did character. She did stand-up.
Yeah.
She wrote sitcoms. She was an actor. She wrote serious dramas. You know, she was an actress as well. Like, she just did a bit of everything, and people let her do that. They didn't go, you've got to be one thing.
It's sort of what you're doing now.
So I'm just copying her.
No, I didn't mean that.
But yeah.
But I mean, what a wonderful thing to emulate what your hero did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I do think she paved the way with that, of just doing loads of different things and being people laughing at her for it in a good way.
So without getting too nerdy, I am fascinated by the craft of what we do for a living, what anybody in our world does. You know, not that I do what you do, but I'm a big fan of anybody that does anything on stage or in front of a microphone or in front of a camera or, you know, on the street. I love all. Your circus tent, bring it on. You know, if there's an audience somewhere, then I'm like, who's doing what? How are they doing it? How much is it landing well?
Show me how to do trapeze.
Show me how to, exactly. And so when you're writing a musical, when you're sitting down at the piano and you're doing your thing and you're crafting an hour of musical comedy, and you're crafting an hour of stand-up, what are the similarities? What are the differences?
There are some things that only work in song form.
Right.
So I'm thinking, I've got a song about going to the gym, for example.
Is it already funny?
Which already, and it's about how you want to tell everyone once you've been to the gym. And so that has the word, I've been to the gym in it about 27 times in the song.
Love it.
So that only really works as a song, and I made it into a sort of Disney type song. And then there's other bits of like stand up where I've got a bit about like compromise in marriage and how compromise is always harder for one person in the marriage than it is for the other. And in our marriage, compromise will always be harder for me because I'm the one who's right. And that wouldn't work as a song. It would, you have to explain it like in the stand up. So it naturally falls one or the other.
It does in your, we talked to Angela Hartnett just now about risotto.
Yeah.
And we're trying to say, Angela, how do you cook risotto? We all try and cook it. And as Claudia Winkleman says on the new episode of their podcast, Dish, Claudia says, well, Angela, when I try and cook risotto, it's both undercooked and overcooked at the same time. And then Angela starts talking and we go to Charlie Brown mode. And all we hear is wah, wah, wah. And it makes total sense to Angela. And what you just said there makes sense to you, but it still doesn't
still
make
doesn't
sense
make,
to me.
It didn't help you at all. But
because can you just smell the flavour? Is it go left or right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's all right. What are the similarities?
The similarities are just finding the joke, finding that little turning point, that sort of skewed view that makes it funny.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't just have a song that is just, I'm going to write a song about rice. You know, you've got to find what's funny about rice. And that's true of stand-up or song.
What's funny about rice? Nothing! When you try and cook it, that's
for
sure.
There's definitely something funny. I'm going to set that as a challenge for my new show now.
There's something funny about rice.
There's
is there anything funny,
about
rice?
Yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah.
nothing funny about rice.
There's got to be.
Rice, do one. Do you start with, on the new show, do you start with music or do you start with stand-up?
You mean in the writing process or...?
On the show itself.
Song. For that confidence, actually. Yeah. I just need that. Some people like come on and like really own the stage with their whole persona. And the way that I can own the stage is the piano and singing.
So do you walk to the piano like a concert pianist?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. How does that walk feel?
It's good. Do you know what? My husband, Marcus, is...
Marcus Brigstock, by the way, everyone, if you don't know.
He is really useful. We talk to each other about our craft, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
And one thing, the advice that we give to each other, we don't give each other too much advice because that would cause rows, but some advice he gives me is you have to remember when you watch other comedians how much joy musical comedy brings people and that people are actually excited for you to do that bit of the show.
Yes.
So rather than sort of shuffling over to the piano and sort of talking over it and going, oh, sorry, I've got to just make my way over here.
Yes.
He said, really own it, like walk slowly and with purpose and like... people aren't dreading it.
Yeah.
They're willing to wait for you to get there.
I suppose like it's almost like a gangplank, isn't it? Or a cakewalk.
Yeah.
Or a rope bridge from the wings to the piano stool.
Yeah. Usually, if you've got a fair audience, usually with applause over it, you know, hopefully won't be in silence.
Oh, my. And how many songs would you kick off with? Would you do a couple to get a bit of...
No, just do one. Just do one and then get into it because you want to get into greeting the audience, talking about where we are.
What's the first song you kick off with? What's it about?
That's going to be a song called What Do Women Want?
It's going to be, or it is.
It is. Well, I'm not... Yeah, obviously, I've got a month till the tour starts, so I'm still shuffling bits around. But my plan is to start off with, yeah, this song, What Do Women Want, which has got a sing-along element to it.
Come on.
From my music teacher days.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I get the audience, split them in two. It's quite hard sing-along as well. They have to concentrate.
Straight away, you say, we're going to... So you're in, aren't you? Because this in your toolbox.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to sit down at the piano, songs are good anyway. You're gorgeous. You're a great singer. You're a great piano player. You're very comfortable at it. And the more comfortable the person is on stage, the more comfortable the audience is.
Yeah.
And the more comfortable you are, the more punk you can be and all that kind of stuff. And then you divide the audience into two. You know, who doesn't want to go to this gig?
Can I just tell you, they love it.
Of course
they
do.
I honestly think more than any other thing, the sing-along element of the musical comedy that I do, where push them further than they think they can go in terms of overlapping melodies and everything and doing harmonies.
Yeah.
A lot of the audience don't know that they can do that. And it's that thing you get from being in a choir and singing together and forming something that sounds awesome together before you've even started. They've got all the endorphins and everything.
You are a trickster because you're tuning your audience up, aren't you?
Yeah,
you're tuning them in to each other, and so you're all on the same vibe anyway.
Yeah,
and wow, I mean, one could never say about anything in life, you know, how could this possibly go wrong, you know, or what could possibly go wrong, but you're pretty much loading the bases there.
Yeah,
if that's how it starts, how the heck does it end?
Well, I like to put in every show a bit of a emotional song in there, as you would expect from me. It's not like... So I haven't finished writing it yet. I started writing it this week, and it's a song about turning 40. A lot of the tour is about turning 40 and looking at where my life is now.
Yeah.
And so it's a song about turning 40. It's sort of a song about womanhood and motherhood. And I don't know if that will be the actual end of the show, because you want to end on a big upbeat one, but that's going to be quite near the end as well. A bit of emotional heartstrings.
What are the headlines of the subjects in the show?
About getting older,
right.
About finding myself with a lot of more in a traditional situation that I never thought I would be. To give you an idea, a few years ago, I did a show, like not even that many years ago, called Best Laid Plans, that was all about me not having the trappings of that traditional life of like
Which
a woman
are
in
what,
her 30s.
For example?
The house, the car, the kids, the husband, the mortgage, all of that,
yeah.
The pet. And I drew it on a chalkboard in the show. And at the end, in a really moment of big empowerment, I crossed it out and I sang a song called I Don't Need the Trappings of That Certain Kind of Life. And it was very empowering. And now I've got all these things. I've got the baby and the husband and the mortgage.
It's not about the trappings. It's about the trap.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the word trappings has the word trap in it, I suppose. But it's weird, isn't it? Because it's like, that's, we're human beings. There is an inevitability about any end game we find ourselves in. And there are many different end games. You know, some people are dictators. You know, some people are all the worst things in the world. And then some people are the best things that you could be as a human being. But there is an inevitability about... all the options have been experienced thus far.
Yeah.
And we're going to end up with something that's happened before, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't know where you're going to end up. And you don't know what version of it is going to be. And some of the bits that you didn't expect or plan are the best bits.
Of course they are.
For
as
example,
long as you surrender to them.
Yeah, exactly.
For example,
my stepkids, yeah. One of whom is here today, yeah. Emily's in the control room.
Hi, Emily,
room.
Gap year. Boom. Big up the gap year.
Yeah. You know, that's not something you... predict what kind of family that you're going to be in,
yeah,
a blended family, but it turns out to be the best thing ever.
Yeah, best thing ever. Other headlines from the show, other song subjects, please.
Oh, I am doing a rip-off of Candle in the Wind, but it's about Liz Truss.
Right. Wow.
I probably
Already
shouldn't
funny.
Say that because I have not got the rights to do... it won't be much like...
I don't
it won't
think
be much
Elton's
like
going to come after you for satirising Liz Truss. I don't know. Can't say for sure. Know him a bit. Know where he lives. He's been to me. He sends me a Christmas card every year. With
Does
David,
he?
Him and David Furniture.
Oh, I bet he's got really lavish Christmas cards.
No, it's always of their sons.
Oh, really?
And it's always beautiful.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah,
that's so nice.
Right, okay. So
okay, I've got...
What, can we have the title of that or not?
Iceberg in the Wind.
Iceberg in the Wind.
Because of the iceberg lettuce during her tenure. I've got a James Bond song.
Nice.
That I've written about Bond girls, but it's in the style of, you know, that
beautiful.
Very classical James Bond type song. Oh, whatever. I've got one called Easter in Dover, which is about...
Oh, really funny? Just funny. That's just funny.
Just Easter in Dover.
Who doesn't want to spend Easter in Dover? Lots of funny things are going to happen.
Oh, and I've got a song that actually, again, I just wrote this week. Some of these songs I've been doing for months and they're sort of really ready to go, but it's nice to have it fresh. And I just wrote one this week called I Don't Know How to Greet You, which is about... doing the greeting wrong when you go to put your hand out and someone goes for a hug.
Especially now.
And they go for two kisses and you go for one and you end up kissing someone on the
chin. And there's a side hug, kissing on the chin.
Yeah.
Do you do the fist bump?
Fist bump and then you go for the handshake and you end up doing rock, paper, scissors.
It's awful. That is an awful moment.
Yeah, so I've got a song about that.
That is awful. Vassos has, you have a greeting paranoia, don't you? Do you remember the corridor thing?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So
you can throw this in if you like.
Yeah, I'd like to.
When you're walking down the corridor, let's say the corridor here on the 17th floor, and you see someone you recognise a bit...
I'm already anxious about this.
A bit too early with the nod and the high and the eye contact. But then you've got quite a lot of corridor between you.
Do you keep
nodding? And you don't know what do you do with that?
You played your ace card.
Yeah.
When you nod hello too early.
Yeah. And then you have to... Like, you've got a choice of you keep nodding or do you just ignore them?
Yep. For the rest of the walk.
For the rest of the walk, which is a long walk.
Or do you tap them on the shoulder as they're passing you with a bit of a shove?
Mm.
Like, good to see you. Please go that way.
Yes. What about if you do an early nod and then a last-minute high five?
Yeah, well, if you risk a high five, that's very punchy. Yeah. That's like lancing back in medieval times.
Isn't it? Because if they've gone, they've gone. Yeah. And then you're just hanging. You're just walking by.
That will stay with you all day.
Yeah.
Lancing is just high-fiving with a deadly weapon in your hand on horseback.
Yes.
That's crazy, that sport, by the way.
Yeah.
Riding's hard enough anyway. Mm. And lances, I've held a lance. Have you held one?
No, but I've seen
one. Why have you held one?
Because I've been show business.
There's not many people who can be like, I've been jousting, sure.
We had the best props guy on our show called Stephen. He's sadly no longer with us. And he became an executive producer. And he could get us anything. He got us stuff. He used to get us things. And I said, we didn't order that. He said, no, but you'll need it. And because he was getting us things that he knew would give us ideas. And I said to him one day, I said, could you get us a tank? He said, what colour? I said, excuse me? He went, well, they do more colours.
What a guy.
Different shades of green? He went, no, they do pink, purple. I can get... I said, well, I just want a green one. He went, okay, just in case. I just, you know, what colour? What colour?
That's the best response.
When you're doing your stand-up in between your singing, comedy, do you get up and stand up? So there are two microphones?
Absolutely, yeah. Divided between the two. And then I'm creating backing tracks for one of the songs as well so that there's also a sort of stadium atmosphere.
Love it. And if the stand-up's going particularly well, would you stay a bit longer at the mic?
Yeah.
That's fun, isn't it? When you've got that to and fro to go to.
Yeah.
If songs are going well, would you do another song?
Yeah, maybe. But
the stand-up.
It's a story. That, you know, there is a bit of a storyline, a bit of a narrative to it. So I wouldn't want to pull too much around that.
And can you remember when you received you were on the right end of your first ever big laugh? Can you remember that?
What, like first comedy gig kind of situation?
Yeah, not at school, not in the classroom, not in the playground. Proper gig, first time you go, a proper big laugh. You think, oh, I've heard. That's what it might sound like.
Yeah, I can, yeah.
Can you tell us?
I remember my first gig really clearly. Yeah, so I'd like...
First gig?
First gig, yeah.
Congratulations, well. No. Because you don't know, do you? It could go either way.
Yeah, the first gig. And I honestly think if the first gig hadn't gone very well, I probably wouldn't have carried on doing... I think so much hinges on the first gig, whether you...
All right, I'll tell you what. Put a pin in that bit of it.
Yeah.
Tell us about the day. That day,
yeah.
How it started, how you're feeling, how you got there. Tell us the whole story, because I think it's fascinating.
Gig. Well, I had tricked my way into that first gig. I had never done a comedy gig before, and I knew that I needed to get my way in. And I told a lady that I met in a pub who said she ran a comedy gig that I was a comedian, which was a lie. And she said, well, then you can have 20 minutes at my gig.
20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes. Luckily, it wasn't a traditional, it was quite a weird, it was in Cable Street, and it was a collective of like, some were comedians, some were artists, some were poets,
good.
You know, a bit of everything. But
so a very open-minded audience.
Very open-minded, very artsy. Yeah. So there was a little piano on the stage. I installed my boyfriend at the time and some friends, so I did have some support in the audience.
Right.
And it was such a weird gig. There was an artist painting the gig in the corner.
I love
that.
That's
how artsy this gig was.
That's cool, man.
Such a strange
gig.
Bring
that back.
Yeah, lovely. Paint the gig. So, yeah, I did a song called My Feelings For You Are Tepid, which I still do at gigs.
What rhymes with tepid, by the way?
It was just that repeated three times, but then it went... But tepid is better than hate. So that was a sweeping love song called My Feelings For You Are Tepid, which was a sing-along as well. I learned that early on. Right. And I did a song which I didn't do again, but it got laughs, that was like, it might as well be spring. Do you know that beautiful old song from the 50s? It's like a classic jazz song, but I changed the words to be about a funny words about a man. Right. It worked. It was like my first few goes, I suppose, at doing
a funny
song. It felt really good. Like it all got laughs. And I did some poems as well and a bit of stand-up.
That's pretty strong for a first ever appearance, isn't it? A, yeah. 20 minutes. B, the songs. C, it all got laughs. I don't know anybody else who's ever achieved that.
I don't think it all got laughs, but it definitely got enough laughs for me to think I'm in the right direction with this. More than any... Because by that point, I'd been a musician. I'd tried to do acting, but got no work. I'd tried, like, cabaret and even burlesque. And, like, none of that had really worked. And even from the first gig, I was like, no, this suits me. This works, actually. Right. So that was good.
And after the gig, when you went home that night...
Yeah.
Was it almost like a birth? Was it like, this is who I am?
There was a feeling of like, I definitely want to do that more. And that feels like it said yes to me in a way that nothing else really had.
Okay, so that's great. Biggest tipping point thus far in your career?
Or
one of them. I'm sure there have been a few.
I mean, there was the MASH report, really, when it took, not the beginning of the MASH report, but there was a moment at the start of the second bit of series one where my role changed and suddenly people were paying attention, and I was given just a lot of opportunities that I wasn't given before, like Live at the Apollo, Mock the Week. All of that happened within a few weeks. So that was January, February 2018 was the absolute tipping point, really.
And again, Victoria Wood used to be on That's Life, and she was very satirical at the end of That's Life. So it was either her or Richard Stilgo, just being very clever with the week's news. And that music, you know, if you have the enough skill and you have the ear for it and you have the eye for what's going on, that's a beautiful fit, isn't it?
It so is. Richard Stilgo is amazing as well. Have you heard Joe Stilgo?
Yeah, we've had him on the show.
Oh, I love him. Yeah. He's amazing. I go to see him because I'm just like, you're incredible.
Really? What? Because you do what he does. So what does he do that impresses you?
What he is, his musicianship,
right?
Just his voice, his piano skills, the way he's able to just seamlessly play anything, and just his musicianship to me is inspiring.
Tim Minchin's been on the show a lot.
Yeah, I love him.
Of course, who doesn't love Tim? Other women doing what you do now, because Victoria was your hero.
Yeah.
So other women that are doing some other.
Yeah, there's Tamar Broadbent. She's a fantastic piano comedian. There's Pippa Evans is a great musical comedian and improviser as well.
Do you ever gig together?
Yes, yeah. There's quite a lot of promoters who are like, we can't have you and Pippa Evans because you're the same, which isn't true. But yes, we do. We do. And we do the Comedy Store Players together as well.
Have you ever done duets with fellow lady musical comedians, you know, on the same
piano? Just trying to think
piano.
If I have.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
No, I haven't, but I would love to.
It'd be so much fun.
I'd love to.
To get three sort of musical comedians together in a comedic trio.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all good anyway. Who cares? But it's all good.
Yeah.
Right. Hopes and dreams for the tour. What do you think?
That I go and visit loads of stately homes while I'm on tour.
This is all the fun.
That's my chance to visit stately homes. My husband's not a big fan. So while I'm away, I'm just going to make the most of being a tourist, basically. I hope that the show starts off well and gets even better as we go through. And I hope that my son remembers who I am at the end of it.
Oh, and Mother's Day on Sunday.
Mother's Day on Sunday.
Good for you. How's Marcus doing?
Yeah, he's great.
What's
thanks.
What's going on with Marcus?
He's on tour with I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, and is just gigging, busy as usual.
Good for you. Good for you. So life is good.
Life is good.
Life
thank
is
you.
Sweet. We're lucky,
yeah.
aren't we? Yeah. We're so lucky. Yeah. Poise UK tour starring Rachel Paris, the one and only Rachel Paris. You don't need another one. Being Saturday, April 20th in Bristol until Sunday, the 20th of October in Brighton. Nice place to finish, Brighton. Is it
lovely.
Is it important to look forward to a particular place at the end of a tour? Was Brighton on purpose?
It wasn't on purpose, but it's fallen really well because Brighton feels like a second home, really, in right. terms of... I've been gigging in Brighton since I first started.
Yeah, yeah.
My brother's down there, like it feels just
when
like...
We watched Brighton last night, didn't we, on the telly, because they had a tea time European last 16 Europa League clash. Didn't go that well for them. Played really well, just... let four silly girls in. But when I even hear the word Brighton, it just makes me feel seaside-y.
Bright.
Yeah, it does. You know, smell the air, can't you?
So nice. Oh, can I mention the podcast?
Do what you want, yeah.
Oh, thanks. Me and Marcus, my husband, Marcus Briggs, starting a podcast. It's starting in April.
Why don't you come on and talk about it, both of you?
Oh, I'd love that, can we?
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
we'll do the deal now.
Oh, all right, it's a deal.
Yeah. So what's it going to be called?
It's called How Was It For You?
How Was It For You?
And it's us reviewing things in our life,
right,
like out of 10, but it's just
out of
chatting.
10 is good,
right? Not like we wouldn't review like a film or a piece of theater. We're reviewing like what was it like to watch that TV with three different generations who've never seen it before.
Lovely.
What was it like to have Billy's incredibly noisy tractor tour that wouldn't turn off for 8 hours?
Yeah.
So we're reviewing just silly ridiculous stuff in our life.
I think it's great. You're going to do that every week?
Every week, yeah.
Forever.
Until they stop us.
All right, listen, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
You nearly came in a couple of weeks ago. I'm so glad you came in today. Yeah. Rachel Paris, Poise Tour. For tickets, racheltour.com.
Love the 80s? Then you'll love Virgin Radio 80s Plus.
Love Chris Evans. Love the 80s.
Over on Virgin Radio.
80s Plus.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.